Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Nice to have you here, front to back, side to side. I heard today that a lot of you guys have been doing the mosquito dance. I think we all have been doing the mosquito dance. We should introduce each other. There's a lot of visitors in town. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you, behind you, we're all on the same, on different journeys, but trying to make it. So let's welcome each other and greet one another. And two up front. I'm looking for my tip. I hope you all had a happy holiday. Last night especially, there were lots of fireworks and noisemakers going on. The good thing about it was it drove all the coons back into the woods, so I appreciate that a lot. Today we're going to sing the patriotic hymns, so everyone sing to the top of your lungs, because we are blessed to be able to live in this place called the United States. And in this time, 2012, for some reason you and I are here, so we should show our appreciation to God for His many blessings. This week our representatives will head down to New Orleans for the National Youth Gathering. Renisha here. Two of the five are here today. Come on up here a second. You've never been. What do you got there? Why don't you explain what you're doing? Yeah. You got some splaining to do.
We're all really excited to head down. We're having a meeting on Tuesday, and it will be our last meeting before we head down.
Carol's saying, hold it up.
She is holding it up.
So we're heading down on this Thursday, and what the gathering has told us is that we can bring a banner, which is bringing our congregation with us to New Orleans, so that you guys are there with us in spirit and in heart. And so we made this banner, and we, as Mary took the trip in her lap after we lost our youth pastor, we found out that we are short a little bit of money for the tipping and for buying books. And so what we've done is, so that we're bringing this along, we would like to charge $1 so that you can sign it, and so you guys would literally be brought with us.
Oh, that's what this is all about. I'll give you a tip.
All of the money that we'll raise by everyone signing this would go to buying kids books, and that is the National Youth Gathering's main goal this year, is literacy. So when we're down there, we'll be teaching kids, we'll be reading to kids, teaching some kids, and visiting different schools, and building different grounds, and it'd be really exciting if we could get a lot of them.
Yeah, good. Let me be the first one to help a book. Now, you said it that you are representing us, and you do. You're not only representing you and Wally and you and your family, but you represent our congregation, and so we're attached to you and you're attached to us, so keep your nose clean. That's the first thing. Second, since they're representing us, I would invite each one of you to say a prayer for these guys when you remember, okay? For their safety, for their learning, that the Holy Spirit moves in their life. Because Even Bev, this is going to be a life-changing experience for you. And you. This is going to mark you. You're going to build a memory that you'll never, ever, ever forget. And it's going to be a wonderful adventure if you help each other down the road and care for one another. So let's have a prayer for these ones who are heading south today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for these representatives who are going south this week. We pray for Kyle and Lyle. It says Kyle in here. Kyle and Renisha and Holly. And we remember Mary and Bev. And we ask for their safety and we ask for their protection, but we pray that their hearts and their eyes might be open to see your Spirit at work. So watch over them and keep them in your loving care. Allow them to have a wonderful adventure. And so go with God. And we expect a good good report when you get... She fell asleep during our prayer. they can do this in the fellowship hall right after church, huh? Okay. Good. Yeah, that's going to be a good opportunity for you. We'll keep you in our prayers. Second, no one signed up for coffee to serve coffee today, but some kind soul said they were going to put coffee on. So, but there's not going to be any donuts or breads or fine pastries. It'll just be coffee. That probably is good for us. But when you go by the sign-up sheet out there, there's a lot of openings to serve coffee, and if you could do that, I know everybody loves the coffee hour. Someone said, Pastor, you could probably just keep him in church an extra 20 or 30 minutes then. And I thought, no, I wouldn't do that to this congregation. So let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, for the blessings of this week, we give you our praise for your Spirit that has touched us and brought us to this place at this time. We give you our thanks for the gift of living in this country, the United States of America, for the blessings that we have been granted, good and plentiful food, clean air, clean water, good schools, health care that's available to everybody. For all these things, we could have been born someplace else in our Africa or Asia, South America, and never experienced it, but we seem to take it for granted, and for that we are sorry. Today we want to say thank you. Help us to use these gifts well and to take care of them. Send your Spirit now as we focus our minds and our hearts on your words today. Send your Spirit to our hearts that we can be revived and reawakened to the wonders of your goodness. Send your Spirit now, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Opening hymn, America the Beautiful.
Since we celebrated... Since we celebrated 4th of July this past week, we thought it was appropriate to do sort of a patriotic service and to thank God for the freedom, you know, that we have in our country. We also wanted to recognize the men and women who have served and who are now serving in the military. Without their sacrifices and their service, we could not enjoy this freedom that we have today. So would any of you that have served in the military or are now serving, please, would you stand up so we can recognize you? Come on, no, there's someone up there. Secured our full liberty when he died on the cross for our sins. And it's offered to us without a price. It's ours free of cost. We're free to live for God and with God here on earth and throughout eternity. So that's something that we can truly be thankful for also as we celebrate this week of freedoms. The first song is God Bless America, that was written in 1918 by Irving Berlin, and kind of became Kate Smith's song, I guess. It takes the form of a prayer for God's blessing and peace for the nation. So everybody sing along.
To the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us confess together our sins as written in our bulletins. Lord, you have given us the power to discern good from evil, but we have failed. We have neglected our responsibilities to you. We have strained our relationships with others. We have not even taken time to understand ourselves. Grant us your forgiveness, Lord, even though we don't deserve it. Bring us clarity, meaning, and purpose in the midst of the confusion and restlessness of these times. Through the words and vision of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our God is a great God and knows our every need. God has forgiven our sin and cleansed us from the thoughts and actions which pull us apart. Jesus, in his death on the cross, has paid the eternal price for our daily relationship with God. Through the Holy Spirit, we are called and enlightened so we can truly be disciples living in the power and victory of the grace of God.
Amen. My eyes have seen the glory of the calling of the Lord. He is trampling out the victories where the pits of rest are sore. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible to store. He is truth, he is marching.
Prayer of the day on page 2. Let us pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from 2 Corinthians 12, 2 through 10. Christians do not boast of their own accomplishments. Rather, Christian boasting focuses attention on how the power of Christ is present in our lives, especially in times of weakness and vulnerability. No matter what our circumstances in life, Christ's grace is sufficient for us. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows.
And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The psalm is Psalm 123. I will begin, and you come in on the bold, and when there's an R, please repeat the refrain. "To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
And your eyes serve the soul to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show us your mercy. Our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Too much of the scorn of the indulgent and of the derision of the proud. Our eyes look to you, O God, until you show us your mercy."
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel.
The Holy Gospel this day is found in the 6th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the first verse. At home and abroad, Jesus and his disciples encounter resistance as they seek to proclaim God's word and relieve affliction. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. For you golfers, I heard a story that was pretty interesting. A man was addressing his ball, thinking about that 250-yard shot down onto the green and imagining it rolling into the hole. And the loudspeaker came on, and the man said on the loudspeaker, "Would the gentleman on the woman's tee please remove his ball and go back to the men's tee?" And he looked around, started addressing the ball. Again, the announcer said, "Would the gentleman on the woman's tee please pick up his ball and go back to the men's tee?" Finally, he looked up at the clubhouse and shouted, he shouted out, "Would the gentleman in the clubhouse please let me shoot my second shot?" Jack. Some days are like that, you know. You think you got this beautiful shot, you imagine a beautiful shot, and it just goes flat. Your whole day goes flat. There are days when there's nothing to laugh about. A pastor friend of mine told me, assignment he gave his sixth grade Sunday school class. One of the kids he wrote was so sincere. He said, "Dear God," supposed to write a prayer, "Dear God, some days I doubt that you really are there. But I know when I was young you healed me, and so I believe in you. But if you can heal me, why can't you stop the bad in the world? Why can't you stop the wars? Why can't you defeat disease? Why can't you end the hunger? And some of the kids in my neighborhood on drugs, why can't you help? I'll try to believe, but these things are difficult for me." And he signed his name. All of us sometimes go through difficult days and difficult weeks and difficult moments. Paul, we're told in our lesson, our first lesson that Darlene read, that he had a thorn in his flesh. He had a pain in his side. And it must have really hurt him very, very badly at least three times, because that's when he prayed for healing. Some of you have had knees and hips changed. Some of you have had heart surgeries. You know what it is to pray. Some of you have lost loved ones. You know what it is to be hurting and alone and in need of God's hand. If I would have had that thorn in my side, I would be praying and praying and praying, and not just three times, you know. But Paul, his thinking was, I asked God three times. He must have put it there for a reason. Whenever that is going to pain me, I'm going to remember that God's grace is sufficient for me. God loves me no matter what pain I'm having down here. God's grace is sufficient for me. That's what this story is. He says, at the beginning of this lesson, he talks about going up into heaven and having these visions. And what it was, I cannot say. He didn't want to talk about those wonderful visions, these wonderful, wonderful spiritual moments he had in his life, because he didn't want to give people the wrong idea that by knowing God, you're going to have these visions all the time. He wanted to let people know that through his aches, through that thorn in his side, God is with him. He put on a whole different idea about what our faith is all about, this thorn in this flesh, huh? And so, today in that lesson, he wants us to know that God's grace is all we ever need. He wants us to know that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Did you notice when bad things happen to us that some people handle adversity differently than others? I mean, some are really resilient. They always put on a positive take on it and know that God's going to take care of it. And their resiliency, I think, comes from their faith. They know that and they trust God will take care of them. Some people, when they get dumped on and dumped on and dumped on, they're just getting beaten down like a old war horse, you know. They just can't hardly get off the couch, get out of the bed, get moving. They can't hardly function. Paul says when you get down like that, remember that God's grace is sufficient for you. He will take care of you. A number of years ago, there was a family who had a little boy that was hospitalized. He had health problems his first couple of years. Finally, one day he woke and he couldn't breathe. Some of you have heard this story in my Bible studies. The family airlifted him to the hospital. When I heard this and visited in the hospital, I found the couple in the family room. And the first, they were all by themselves. No one else was there, so we had an open conversation. The first thing the father said to me, without even saying hello, is, "Why is God doing this to us? Why is God doing this to my boy? Why is God doing this?" And I said, hang on. I don't believe that God is doing this to your child. I don't believe that he would have anything to do with bringing harm to your child. I believe he loves this child. I believe he loves you. And he wants what's best for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe God wants what's best for us? He said, "Yeah, I guess I do." And then he said, "Well, why is the devil doing this to us then?" And I said, "You know, I don't believe the devil's doing that either. I don't think there's some cosmic energies between good and evil going on in heaven and he's playing with you. I don't think that's what's happening here." "Well, why is this happening? Why does this stuff happen, Pastor? Tell me." And I said, "Maybe it's a test of your faith. Maybe it's to see how you treat your spouse, how you treat the doctors and nurses, how you witness to your faith. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God will watch over you? Do you believe God is with your child in that hospital bed with the tubes stuck down his throat now? Maybe it's a test to see how much you trust and believe in God." And it was like, whoa. You see, when adversity comes to us, where do we get our strength? Where do we get our power? Where do we get the courage to go on day after day after day and face the tragedies that befall us all? Paul says, I could talk about my spiritual moments of ecstasy, but that's nothing. He says, when I get this thorn in my side, this pain in my side, that's when I know. It reminds me that God's in charge, God's in control. Many of you remember our friend Don Lagerstrom, who died probably 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. He was on the building committee that put on our new addition. So that would have been 2007, 5 years ago. When he was on his deathbed, he told me something that I've never forgotten. I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, "When God is all you have, Pastor, God is all you need." I mean, he knew he was dying. When God is all you have, God is all you need. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul tells us. That's exactly what Paul is talking about. There was a couple born in poverty, a couple of brothers born in poverty in Boston. The parents loved these kids, got them to school, did everything right. One of the boys, William, the oldest boy, he ended up running a gang, becoming a bank robber and a criminal, put in prison. Brought shame on the family. The other brother studied hard, ran with a good crowd, worked hard, worked his way through college. Ended up being the president of the University of Massachusetts, UMass. How does that happen? Where one, same environment you grow, one ends up in crime and bad things. One ends up climbing the ladder and helping people, doing good things. Maybe it's how we handle adversity. James and William Bulger was their name, huh? God promises us. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you worship on Sundays. I'm glad you who come to Bible studies come, because you're putting something in the bank for tough times. When tough times come, you've got something to fall back on. If you haven't been in a Bible study or a book study or something like that, what you do, the reason you go is so you can put something in the bank for difficult times. You learn to trust God. You hear story after story of trusting God. That's why I'm glad you're here on Sunday morning. You're putting something in the bank. You all know, and I know, many people who don't worship, who don't pray, who don't think about God. And when tough times come, boy, is it tough. Have you ever entered into a funeral home where there's absolutely no hope, or a house where there's absolutely no hope? I mean, I've heard wailing, and I've heard crying, and I've heard pain, but there's nothing worse than that. I'm glad that you're putting something in the bank. That's what Paul is reminding us today of. He's saying adversity will strengthen us for service, huh? He's saying God's grace is sufficient for us. God's power is never more apparent than when a believer is made strong in his or her relationship with God. One of the reasons I like this congregation, I love this congregation, 75% of you are retired. You've gone through your divorces. You've fought your addictions. You've fought your health problems, your heart problems, your cancers. Some of you have lost spouses. Some of you have lost jobs. You've got all this hardship and pain behind you. Some of you, and most of you have moved in. So you know what it is to be hurting and to go through the pain. And you know what it is to be lonely and needing fellowship and friendship. You've gone through your adversity and you're willing to help each other down the road, down the journey of life. That's the best thing about a congregation, is you've paid the price. You've walked the journey. You know what it is to hurt. The power of God is never more apparent than when a believer is made strong by his or her relationship with God. And you come and worship. You say your prayers. You study the scriptures. You talk about faith. I look at the TV sometimes. And we think that the best spokespeople for faith is the television evangelist or the radio evangelist or the Tim Tebow, however he does that. Is it the thinker pose? Anyway, we think it's the best athlete or the best speaker or the most successful businessman who has the faith that shares. In my experience, the best witness for Christ is the one who's lived through adversity and tells their kids and their grandkids and their neighbors that it was their faith that made them well. It was their faith that brought them through it. I think of our friend, Pastor Winfield Johnson. Winnie passed away a few weeks ago. I think of his faithful journey in life. The last week he was alive, he was put in hospice. He was making phone calls, thanking people for their participation in his life, their participation in the kingdom of God. And he was in hospice, and he knew he was dying. And the day before he died, he told the hospital chaplain, "Boy, this is going fast, isn't it? I mean, this is going fast." He knew he was ending his journey here on earth. And he was just so full of joy and full of hope. That adversity, that thorn in his side, it was something he was looking forward to. He could say with Paul, "Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's." And I think that's what Paul is alluding to here. "My grace is sufficient for you," says God. And his grace is sufficient for you. "My power is made perfect in weakness." His power is made perfect in your weakness. Wonder if he can do anything with a Finlander. Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe he can. Anyway, think on these things. Think on these things. May God bless us on our journeys. Amen. This time we'll invite the praise team up, lead us in amazing grace, and we'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering. Will the congregation please rise? Let us join in the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 3. Let us pray. All we have, all we are, and all we hope to be belongs to you, God. We offer our gifts for use in your service. Receive these gifts, and may they be used to further the work of your church on earth. Amen. With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole family of God, let us offer our prayers to him. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For bishops, pastors, teachers, lay leaders, and prophets, as they call people to repentance and anoint those in need of healing, Lord, in your mercy. For the nations of the world, especially for those facing persecution, hardships, and calamities, Lord, in your mercy. For animals and plants, earth and sky, water and air, for the well-being of creation, and the health of ecosystems, Lord, in your mercy. For those weary from weakness, worry, aging, grief, or illness, especially we remember Donna Hjort, Dean Newman, Bob Vorlachek, Ron Hass, and those others who we name in our hearts who need your healing touch. We pray that your grace will be sufficient for all they need. Lord, in your mercy. For wisdom to live our lives with integrity, trusting you in suffering, and giving thanks in all things, Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for the blessings of this past week where we celebrated another national birthday. We pray for our youth and their sponsors, their leaders who will be heading south this week. Give them a good time, a safe travel. Allow your spirit to move in their hearts. For our family members, wherever they find themselves, and our friends, we ask your protection and your guidance. For all your holy ones whose journey is complete, and now who rest from their labors, that you bring us with them to your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness. In Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Peace. You are the forgiven people of God.
We will celebrate forgiveness to you tomorrow. We will celebrate forgiveness to me. Through acts of kindness, times of listening concerns, and deeds of generosity.
Go in peace. You are the forgiven people of God.
We have heard the good news. We will share the good news.
God be with you. Go and serve in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for coming.